You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the 4th day of March, 2021. We are bringing in Ben Kaspic of Locked On Giants to talk about the team that was my dad's favorite team, and that gave their fans the greatest decade anyone could imagine last decade. This most recent decade, off to an interesting start. But we'll talk about that in depth. The show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And you're staying at home during these still interesting times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Today, Locked On Fantasy Baseball, Locked On MLB Prospects, and hey, why not Locked On Giants with Ben Kaspic? You can follow me on Twitter. That's where you send your Sunday requests, to Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. This show is available on Twitter and Instagram with the handle Locked On MLB Pod. So it's with my great pleasure that I'm bringing on to the show for the first time. We've been kicking around having you on the show, but here we are. I managed to do it just as the season is right around the corner. Ben Kaspic, all the way from Silicon Valley. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Sully. Glad to finally connect.
Well, there's a couple of pieces of manager news to bring up today. One was really startling, and that was Aaron Boone, the manager of the New York Yankees, is going to be on, indefinite medical leave for heart surgery. I did not think of him as someone who was on the verge of a heart attack or something like that, but evidently that's the case. And even though I grew up a Boston Red Sox fan, you'd think I'd be vindictive. No, I'm a human being first. And Aaron bleeping Boone, I hope you get better. I really do. And because he seems like a good baseball man from a good baseball family. As it stands right now, Coach Carlos Mendoza is going to be the acting manager for the Yankees in his absence. So get better, Mr. Boone, get back and hopefully be part of the Yankees to almost win again, but not quite. And also former San Francisco Giant manager, former Baltimore Oriole manager, Joe Altobelli died. He was the successor of Earl Weaver when the Orioles won the World Series in 1983 under his tutelage. I know a lot of people poo-pooed that, like, oh, he inherited Earl's team. But, you know, a lot of managers inherit great teams, and very few of them go on to win the World Series. And Joe Altobelli was a great baseball lifer. He briefly managed the San Francisco Giants in the late 70s, and he was a manager in the Orioles system when they produced great player after great player after great player in the 60s and 70s. Now, here's a piece of pop culture trivia of how Joe Altobelli, the manager of the 83 World Series champion Orioles, fits in our pop culture. Of all the players that he managed, the Don Baylors, the Eddie Murrays, and all of them in the Orioles system that he was a manager of, one of them was named Ron Shelton. And Ron Shelton was an infielder who could not break through the great Orioles infield of the 1970s. And he wrote down all of his memories of playing in the minor leagues as a frustrated player, not being able to break a major league squad while having this tough as nails career minor leaguer as his manager. Well, Ron Shelton didn't find success as a major leaguer, but found success as a screenwriter and a filmmaker. And he used those memories to write and direct the movie Bull Durham, which, by the way, if you want to follow the podcast I did on Bull Durham, where I broke down that movie 1 minute at a time, that was Bull Durham Minute. And he has said that the inspiration of Skip, the manager who hates lollygaggers, was indeed Joe Altobelli. So rest in peace, Joe Altobelli, the man who inspired one of the great baseball speeches in movie history. This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it? So rest in peace, Mr. Altobelli. And yes, indeed, he will be in the In Memoriam video, which I am unveiling at the end of this month. Okay, enough heart bypass and death. Let's talk about the Giants, my dad's favorite team. Okay, there's some death. And it gave the team a heart attack. Oh, God, there's some heart bypass. But I want to bring in Ben to talk about the current state of the Giants, a team that was not very good last year, but actually almost made the postseason because of expanded playoffs. Let's talk about the state of the Giants as they're playing in the Wild West with those two super teams. What do you think about moving forward?
Well, it's definitely tough to play in the National League West right now. It was tough enough with the Los Angeles Dodgers just dominating the division year after year. And now the Padres seem like they are close to being on that same level. So without expanded playoffs, the best you can hope for is making a wild card game for at least the foreseeable, you know, next few years. And so that's tough. And I know there's pros and cons with expanded playoffs, but I mean, the Giants, they hit last year. I think I have a feeling we may slightly see the state of the team a little bit differently. I'm optimistic about the future of them, but realistically, it's tough being in the National League West.
Well, it's also tough when you consider the fact, not just the fact that their chances of winning the National League West is virtually zero, because even if the Dodgers stumble, the Padres will probably be the team to win that. But also the National League East has, the Mets have terrific pitching. The Braves are, I think, could be as good as the Dodgers or Padres. I think they're an elite team. The Nationals are still a very talented team that won the World Series just 2 years ago. And you have the Phillies have talent on that squad. Unless we forget the Marlins were a good team over the 60-game shortened season. So it really feels like one of the – whoever doesn't win the West, the runner-up will host the wild card game, and some team from the East will be the other one. So I think there's a difference between tanking and rebuilding. And I think that you can rebuild in a smart way and also rebuild in a way that you're not putting a minor league product on the field. And that's kind of what I think the Giants are going to do. I think that for me personally, success for them would be to make it around 500, show that you're not a garbage team, and also see some of their prospects, especially Joey Bart, who played the full season last year, can hold their own in the majors.
Well, I don't see them as like a minor league type of team at all. I think Mike Yastrzemski emerged in the last couple of years as pretty much a star level player. They've gotten really good production out of Alex Dickerson, who came over in a minor trade. Donovan Solano is a veteran major league player who's been really good for them each of the last 2 years. Obviously last year was a short season, but he basically repeated what he did in 2019, which was to be really awesome. And then besides that, they've got veterans all over the field in Posey, Belt, Longoria is there. Brandon Crawford is still there. Tommy La Stella was brought in. So if anything, they're not playing enough young players as opposed to having too many kind of young, untalented players. But I think that they are something that they continue to stress is that they're going to give opportunities to young players. The issue is a lot of their best prospects are in kind of the lower levels of the minors. You mentioned Joey Bart. He's obviously an exception.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to continue to get a look, although with Posey, he opted out of the 2020 season, as I'm sure.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why Bart was rushed a little bit. He had barely played in Double A in 2019, so he never even played in Triple A before coming up, and he didn't look good. I mean, he looked overmatched, and so the plan is to start him in the minors so he can continue to develop and that they can bring him up when they feel he's ready, as opposed to bringing him up out of necessity.
Right.
But I think as we move forward, each and every year, as those prospects come from the lower levels and they start to get closer, the idea is that every year they're going to kind of, like the Dodgers, funnel new young talent into the organization, like the Dodgers seem to do year after year. And the architect, or one of the architects of those, of that, of this Dodgers team, is Farhan Zaidi, who's now running the Giants. And that's the vision that I see and that they talk about. And I'm a little more optimistic than most, I would say.
Well, look, at I think that Bart was given kind of a trial by fire last year, and seeing the responsibility that a catcher has to have in a team that is inevitably going to be built on pitching. I think in the end, having him play the 33 games he played last year on the major league stage for a team that had zero expectations. I mean, nobody thought the Giants were going to be, will do piddly poo even in the shortened season last year. So I think that there's a little bit of any butterflies that he got out, he'll be able to do that. And I think you made a great point, especially if Posey comes back, there will still be enough players to make it be a Giants flavored product. There'll be enough familiar faces from the championship years to be able to say, okay, this doesn't feel like a complete do-over that some teams have when they go bananas in their rebuilding to the point where the fans don't even know who the heck is on the field. And so I think that will help, especially if they bring up some of the young players. But I will say that even if some of those young players come up and play well, I don't think the Giants are a good bet to make the postseason in 2021. And if any of you are betting out there, go to Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on your sports action. What? Baseball's coming up. You got basketball. You got the NBA. You got NHL. I bet there's lacrosse being played somewhere. Bet Online covers everything, including awards, TV shows, reality TV. That's weird, okay? Because I was a reality TV producer at one point. And if you get to meet someone, if someone on the inside, you can make some big bets. But that's a different story altogether. They got real-time, updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, odds. It's the best place to put your bets. And guess what? It's free to sign up. So head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today. Get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On. Today, on the Locked On Today podcast, Harden heads back to Houston with his new team. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with a Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Hey, we're back with Mr. Ben Kaspic of Locked On Giants. Hey, let's just take a look at something. The Giants made the kind of moves that I think are smart for a team in their position, that they're not going to be one of the elite teams. We just said that the Dodgers, I think Dodgers, San Diego, and Atlanta are the three best teams in the National League. I think the Cardinals are heads and shoulders the best team in the Central right now. And some combination of Mets, Phillies, Nationals, Marlins, or possibly Milwaukee will probably get that second wild card. So the Giants are indeed a long shot, but hopefully for the Giants, they could wait for some teams to stub their toes and at least make life hard for people. But they made a couple of moves this offseason that seemed to be kind of smart short-term deals to be stop gaps. And if they happen to work and they contend, great. And if they don't contend, they could be able to flip some of these guys for some prospects at the trade deadline. Let's just go over some of them. Anthony Discofani, who was a solid pitcher just a couple of years ago, but he was awful last year. He was awful, but he's going to a pitcher's park. He's going to be playing the whole season. I think a lot of people are going to Men in Black them last year right out of their brain to sort of flash the neuralizer and forget that last year ever took place. What's your thought on Discofani a pitcher who needs a rebound year coming to a pitcher's ballpark and, frankly, a pitcher's division.
I agree with you 100% that it's exactly the type of signing that a team in the Giants' position should make. And they had a lot of success with a similar type of guy in Kevin Gausman the year before. Like, if you look at what Kevin Gausman did in 2020 with the Giants, I think a lot of people maybe don't know, but he pitched like an ace, basically. The ERA was good, but not great. But if you look at some of the peripheral numbers, they were actually great. But getting back to DeSclafani, like you said, just 2 years ago, 2019, his last normal season, this guy had a 3.89 ERA pitching in the Great American Small Park in Cincinnati.
Exactly.
And so, yeah. And if you look a couple years before that, he had a 3.28 ERA in Cincinnati in 123 innings. So he has the bad year in 2020, and the Giants have developed a reputation for being a good place for pitchers to come play for 1 year, perform a lot better, and get a better contract. That's what happened with Kevin Gausman. He signed for $9 million coming into 2020. He ended up accepting the $18.9 million qualifying offer after the year, after the great year he had. He had a three-year offer from the Blue Jays that he turned down in favor of the Giants' qualifying offer. And Drew Smyly, same thing. He came over for 1 year, $4 million, ended up getting 1 year, $11 million to go to the Braves. Right. And Drew Pomeranz came to the Giants and had a lot of success in the bullpen when they moved him there. They traded him, got Mauricio Dubon out of that trade. And then Drew Pomeranz has a lot of success in Milwaukee and then gets this massive kind of contract with the Padres. Massive for Drew Pomeranz.
Right.
So, yeah, I just basically think DeSclafani is kind of out of that same mold and has the potential to turn things around and have a nice season. And if he doesn't, it's a low risk 1 year deal. So there's really not a lot of harm in that.
Right. I really think I was going to actually bring up the fact that bringing back Kevin Gausman, for those of you who didn't realize, Gausman, again, it's tough to look at any of these stats because it was really the equivalent of ending the season right around Memorial Day. That's usually the first checkpoint of a season, not the whole thing. But Gausman did strike out 79 batters in 59 and two-thirds innings. That's a tremendous strikeout per innings rate. He only walked 16 batters. You're right, the peripherals for a 3.62 ERA were very, very good. And again, what you're hoping to do with the Giants this year is to stay in a bunch of games and hopefully steal a series here or there. And the way you do that is by putting together a decent pitching staff. I think DeSclafani is the exact type of move where, I mean, he could turn things around and suddenly you can flip him. Now, the Giants made a couple other moves right now. I'm going to bring in the fact they brought in, Alex Wood came in, former Dodger. He was a couple years ago, he was an all-star caliber pitcher, but it's kind of the same thing that it's a one-year deal. And what are you going to get out of Alex Wood? Are you going to get the second coming of Grover Cleveland Alexander? No, but you have someone who's a proud person and a major league pitcher who is, how old is he right now? He's about 30 years old
30.
Now.
And he's playing for something.
Right.
He's playing for a new contract. So there's motivation on these one-year deals. There's a lot of things that can go right for the Giants. Like you said, if the pitchers have success and the Giants aren't contending, they can trade them. If the pitchers are having success and they're helping you win, you can keep them. And that's actually what's happened the last couple of years. They've held players at the deadline because they've been in contention at the trade deadline, mm-hmm. both of the last 2 years.
Yeah, and it's made, and lest we forget, and I've made this point a bunch of times, people seem to forget this. Baseball team's job is to entertain you during the summer. And there have been a couple of years, I remember sorry, folks, I'm bringing this up briefly here, but really the last year my dad watched any baseball was 2019. And even though his health was failing, he loved watching Bumgarner and all those players and all those people who were yelling, they got to trade him and get this, got to trade him and get that. It's like, or they could keep him and we could have fun this summer. Would that be the worst thing in the world? They could have flipped Bumgarner and got two or three prospects, but, or we could have had a great finale to the Bruce Bochy years. Either way, the Giants, if they put together a decent starting staff like they've been doing, they could be at least entertaining. And for their bullpen, they brought in Matt. It's Whistler, right?
Whistler.
Yeah. I almost said Weisler, but then I was, no, it's Whistler. They brought in Matt Whistler, who, once again, he's not a reincarnation of Rich Gossage, but no risk, a few years removed from being a solid reliever. And again, you build this team hoping they can push two or three runs across. This could work out well. I think the most intriguing pickup they made, and this is someone who I think pair well with, I almost said Carl Yastrzemski, with Michael Yastrzemski, is signing Tommy La Stella and giving him a 3-year deal. Again, I think this is one of those that you have a veteran who's been there, done that, could fill in a role, could fill in several different positions, and hit at the top of the order. And his job is to be a human being on the base paths while they hopefully score a run or three.
Yeah, and Sully, I have to say, I don't know if your listeners are aware of this, but the Giants were a really good offensive team in 2020. And I understand fully 60-game season, right? But the fact is, like, under Gabe Kapler, new manager in year one, he brings in this entirely new unconventional coaching staff. And the hitting coach, he brings in three different hitting coaches. They have, I don't even know, they have different titles. I think two of them have the same title, whatever. But these are the types of guys who have helped players like Justin Turner, JD Martinez, Chris Taylor, Max Muncy, these guys who have worked with like private hitting instructors and broken out as a result. These guys are now in the Giants dugout. And if watching them last year, they looked different. Their stances were different. Their approaches were different. They were coming out of their shoes on pitches like in the zone that they could handle. They kind of dropped this, like slap the ball the other way, hit a ground ball up the middle kind of mindset, and just were trying to yank balls in the seats. And they did. And they were also really passive on pitches out of the zone. So they were walking, they were hitting for power. And a lot of the players, like if you look at pretty much across the board, Crawford, Belt, Solano, as we said, Yastrzemski, Alex Dickerson, Darren Ruff, like everybody mashed. And so you mentioned that the pitching staff could be kind of okay. And I agree. And there's certainly some risk and there's health risk. And like you said, a lot of these guys didn't necessarily do well last year or they were injured last year, but they all have the potential and they've all done it in the past. But then if the hitting can just be anything like what they did, and I get it, there's obviously a chance that it just doesn't last because of the small sample of the year last year. But if they can do it, and there's reason to believe they can because of the influence of the coaches, and you hear the players talking about it, it's not just my concept and idea that maybe this had an influence. They talk about it. And so if they can do that and they can pitch a little bit, then they could surprise some people. I think they could finish 85 plus wins and be kind of in contention for that. Unfortunately, I agree with you, the best they could do is probably the second wild card, but I think they could flirt, they could push the Phillies, they could push maybe the Mets. I agree with you, the Braves are really good, but what's baseball? The Mets often underperform, and so I'm not sold on them even though they got a lot better. I could go on and on, but that's just kind of, I just had to say that about the hitting.
Fantasy Baseball Addicts, you have a new resource to help give you an advantage in your leagues. Locked On Fantasy Baseball, it's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. season-long fantasy, dynasty leagues, DFS, Locked On Fantasy Baseball covers it all. Subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get podcasts. All right, we have preaching the gospel of the Giants. Ben Kasvick is looking up and says he doesn't care if it's an odd year. He thinks it's time for another Giants flag. You heard it first. Go to Bet Online and put all your money, liquidate your 401k, according to Ben Kasvick. It's the Giants year. Okay. I'm pushing it a little bit.
People would have won some money if they listened to me last year. I said take the over on the dismal win predictions that even in the short season that came out for the Giants. And I said take the over, and they certainly were over.
You made a great point, though. You made a couple of great points. But one great point you made is the Mets – can always find ways to put a bazooka to their own foot. And we're already seeing there's off-field stuff that's going on that could, cause a distraction or eight going on with the Mets right now. The last time the Philadelphia Phillies had a winning season, we are in the 10th anniversary of the last time the Phillies played above 500 ball. Despite having superstars and spending piles of money and bringing in Joe Girardi, even last year, they couldn't get above 500. The Washington Nationals are a team that, yes, they won the World Series in 2019, and they still have a ton of talent on that team, and they could be very, very good, or they could not be. And I don't know if the Marlins just played a good, solid 60 games and then fell on their face. And remember, their manager is Don Mattingly. Now, I want to tell something about my late father, who watched every single Giants game that you could ever imagine. He was going back to the Polo Grounds, my dad's fandom was. And I remember there was one year, it was 2014, actually, and the Giants and the Dodgers were both wrestling to see who was going to be the division winner. Ultimately, the Dodgers won the division, but the Giants won the World Series. At one point that year, my dad was saying, I think the Giants look pretty good. I think they're going to go far. And I said, well, look out. The Dodgers are really tough. And my dad gave me great wisdom. He said, don't worry about the Dodgers. Their manager is an idiot. And that manager he was referring to was Don Mattingly, who can make any great team good. And he is in charge of the Marlins, who played an exciting brand of baseball and had lots of young, solid players. But my dad's wisdom is ringing in my ears. And who knows what the Brewers had a losing record last year. And who knows what the heck is happening in the rest of the division. The Cubs, small market team, not a lot of revenue, not a big fan base, are thinking about rebuilding that team. So, yeah, there actually could potentially be a, you know, they'd have to thread the needle. It's really flying down the Death Star trench to hit that target, but it's possible. I'm going to throw two names from the 2018 World Series champion Boston Red Sox who are currently available, who I think could play an interesting part with the 2021 Giants. First and foremost, Jackie Bradley Jr. is still out there. Jackie Bradley Jr. is as good a defensive center fielder as you will have. And to have him as the center spot of the bingo card, whatever rotation of outfielders you're going to have there, you've got a gigantic field in center field. You need a really good defensive center fielder. You have an elite center fielder who's also a left-handed bat who can hit from time to time. I think he would be a good fit on that team. The other player I think is Rick Porcello, and hear me out. He was a Cy Young Award winner a few years ago. He's up and down and up and down. But in the 2018 postseason, they used him out of the bullpen a lot. And I absolutely believe he is someone who you can convert to a reliever at about 4 or 5 years to his career and be that veteran dude who is not going to be your closer, but a guy, a middle reliever, pitches the sixth or seventh or whatever, and with obviously a ton of experience, World Series experience, a Cy Young on his mantle, and is available and probably could be signed. I think those two players plop them into this Giants team with short-term deals, I think could add a win or two and maybe get them closer to that 500 mark.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there were some rumors about Jackie Bradley Jr. There's always been room. Anytime there's a good defensive center fielder, they get connected to the Giants. And for good reason, it's 421 feet, or at least it used to be, out into right center field there. And the fact that he's still out there, yeah, apparently he was seeking, what, like a 5 or 6 year deal, something kind of crazy like that. Well, and
well, don't offer
I don't
him
think
that,
that's but worth it.
But
right.
I think
that's why he's still out there. That's why nobody signed him.
That's true. Well, I'm saying if he brings it down to three, I know you're going to get two really good defensive seasons out of him. And
yeah.
And I think that, I mean, that center field, even if they move stuff in a little bit, I think that this is, I think it would be a smart move. You brought up, I've been very, very critical of Gabe Kapler, both on and off the field. And I pointed out that he had some very talented teams in Philadelphia that he could not bring above the 500 mark. So naturally he gets another chance. And it absolutely dumbfounded me that when Bochy retired, they didn't promote one of his lieutenants. I like whether it was Wotus or Mullins or Roberto Keller, someone who was like, hey, you've got this great manager. He had the stable coaching staff around him. Give the car keys to one of them. Now, where you pointed out that maybe they're just taking it in a completely different philosophy to not act like this is an extension of the Bochy years, but they're going to try something new. I think this is a critical year for Kapler to have a full season and some talent on that team to be able to not to win. I mean, look, they're not going to fire him if he doesn't win. I mean, I'm not that insane. And I think that he's going to remain the manager into 2022 unless they become a 100-loss team and he takes a dump in center field or something like that. But I do think he needs to show why a career manager two games under 500 is worth another shot.
Yeah, he's obviously a polarizing guy, and we could do a whole show talking about Gabe Kapler. But you mentioned Joe Girardi going to Philadelphia. Maybe it wasn't Gabe Kapler, right? Because that Philadelphia team underperformed again, and actually they had an expanded playoffs to work with, and they still couldn't get in. So if you look back at one of the big things, the criticisms of Kapler in Philadelphia was the bullpen and his handling of the bullpen. But this year, the Phillies bullpen, didn't they have like a 9-something ERA?
Oh, no, dreadful, dreadful.
One of the worst bullpens you've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, maybe they just have a bullpen problem. And honestly, I was a little bit like a lot bit skeptical about Kapler at first. But he actually, I think, is quite a good fit here. And it definitely was what you're saying. It was a total different direction. They weren't trying to have an extension of the Bochy years. And those years were very successful in the first half of the decade. But I think the game changed a lot in the last few years that Bochy was around. And you saw teams like the Dodgers have their rise. And like I mentioned, a lot of that was innovative stuff, like having these new school kind of hitting coaches helping their hitters out. And so the Giants, a lot of it did have to do with Kapler is like the captain of that kind of new regime in the dugout. And what's interesting is he was a farm director for the Dodgers. And I've heard it said multiple times that you kind of have to think of Kapler as like a major league development director in the dugout for the Giants. And that's kind of the role that he has. If you listen to him talk, and if you look at the coaching staff he surrounded himself with. And so getting to like the expectations though, people came around to him in San Francisco in 2020 because they did play above expectations and they really hit. And people here understand that a lot of it did have to do with the coaching staff that he put together that people were skeptical about initially. And so It is a big year. However, I mean, it's the Giants. I think nobody outside of me and some hardcore people expect anything out of this team. So he's probably going to end up still at the end of 2021, still having that career 500-ish record. Mm-hmm. But a big part of what he does is surrounding himself with these kind of innovative people. And his on-field management was fine. He made a really embarrassing gaffe. I don't know if you
tried to make
a pitching change. He did something similar in Philadelphia. He basically does this like once a year where he does something really embarrassing.
Oh, I noticed. But I think you may have heard my thoughts about that in an episode of Locked On MLB. That I think the title of it was "Why is an idiot managing the Giants?" I think that was the general thesis of it. But
yeah.
I'm just sometimes I speak passionately for this podcast, but
totally fine. And it was embarrassing, but I mean, ultimately that was just one moment in what was a pretty good season for the Giants, who, by the way, they finished with the same record as the Brewers, who did make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think they were just a couple wins away from the Marlins.
Yeah.
And the Giants had a positive run differential, which is very arguably more indicative of talent than even a win-loss record. I mean, obviously wins are where it matters, but the run differential can provide some clues. And if you look at the Marlins, they were like -40 or something. So I don't really believe that team is going to continue that success with that kind of run differential. You can't get outscored by a ton of runs and expect to win a ton of games.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think that it's one of the reasons why I think there is, to paraphrase the scene from Dumb and Dumber, "So you're telling me there's a chance." I think that there is a possibility that the teams that don't play in Georgia in the National League East could all fall on their face. And it would not stun me at all if the Cardinals are the only team to finish above 500 in the Central. I mean, I do think the Brewers have, especially if Yelich comes back and has a good year overall, I do think Yelich will. I think the Cubs are dying to blow the team up. I think if they get out of the gate 1-4, they'll say, it's a lost year, and they'll start trading everyone away because they see all those players are going to be available for free agency at the same time, and they would rather restock their farm system. But I think that for this type of year, I mean, to in conclusion, Your Honor, I think, as we mentioned before, for a type of year where there is a potential to do it, they made all the right moves, the short-term moves, to put themselves in a position to be competitive. You made the great point. Yastrzemski is the son of, or the grandson of, one of my favorite players of my childhood. And I vividly remember the year that he got his 3,000th hit and his 400th home run. I talked about how I watched every single game they televised leading up. And in Boston, it was such a huge thing that his quest for 3,000 hits. And I was watching, 7-year-old Sully was watching every single game, waiting for that 3,000th hit. And then one game against the, and he got to 2,999. And then went like hitless for the next four games. And then your pal Sully went to the bathroom one night, and I came back, and my dad had a long look on his face going, "You missed it," because he got his 3,000th hit while I was in the bathroom, which is why I now watch games in diapers. But to see Yastrzemski clearly be the second greatest Yastrzemski in the history of baseball, but be a really effective, solid player, and the rest of the team, look, it, they need to score four runs a game with a decent pitching staff, they'll win more than not. And if the NL East winds up slipping on a banana peel, then you may look at the West Coast to say, "Hey, Dodgers, Padres, Giants, let's go play." There is a chance that every California team, except the one with the best player in baseball, could make the postseason this year. So that's just something to think about. And by the way, Gabe Kapler, where did he go to school? Cal State Fullerton, which is where your pal Sully is earning his teacher's credential. It all comes full circle. But what also comes full circle is talking about San Francisco Giants all year long. Ben Kasper, tell us where we can follow your podcast.
You mean What do you mean? Follow the podcast like on Apple and Spotify and all that?
Sure. Yeah, that's a start.
Yeah, anywhere you can get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, all that stuff.
Groovy. Well, guess what? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stump you with that question. You can follow our show.
I was thinking you were going social media, so
I'm in my 40s. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still on MySpace. But you can follow this show on all the places you get your podcast. And apparently, we are at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and on Instagram. Talking Giants and talking about how this could be the next great era in San Francisco Giants history, or at least a shot at 500 and a chance to sneak into the playoffs with Ben Caswick. This has been Locked On MLB for the fourth day of March 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.